Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, got my second shot last week. Wiped me out for an entire day. I had a bunch of people tell me, well, you'll get the shot, 24 hours, you'll feel fine. And then the next 24 hours, then you're going to pay for it. And it was almost like clockwork. 24 hours from the minute I got the shot, I'm going, I don't feel so good. I think I'm going to go lay down. And then before you knew it, I'm just wiped out. I had the little shivers going on, and I just slept. 24 hours later, I was perfectly back to normal and now through it. And here to share some thoughts on, well, the vaccines, the my experience, and maybe get some of the wackier responses to the shot. I've asked our good friend, Dr. Keith Pocheck, to come share with us. Dr. Keith, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
So I think it was you were one of the people who was telling me, and I had a bunch of other people saying, no, when I got my second shot, it was, 24 hours, and then those next 24 hours, that's where you're going to suffer a little.
Now, we really have seen a spectrum of how folks handle both the first or second dose. My wife and I, honestly, it didn't feel any different the first or the second. Arm a little sore, maybe a little tired. That was it. And I think that most of the folks I'm close with at work had a similar experience. There were quite a few who said, hey, yeah, it really did kind of drop me for about a day or so. But by and large, like you said, people tend to bounce back after a day and a half or so, yep. and are totally no worse for the wear, even if they get those that draggy, achy fatigue, fever, which luckily I didn't get.
I didn't get any of that. I was just tired. It was like, I'm cold. I'm shivering a little bit. No pain. No, nothing, just wiped out.
Yeah. And some of it too, I think, is, there's a real, we've proven numerous times over that the placebo effect is real, but so is the nocebo effect. And that's the anticipation that something's going to make you feel poorly. It's going to make you feel poorly. And that's also proven. There's a scientific basis for that, for sure.
So while I'm continually checking the watch that I don't have on my wrist, going, hey, what time is it? Is it time? Is it now? I was probably bringing it on myself. Is that what you're saying? It's all psychosomatic? I spent an entire day in bed for no reason?
It's not all psychosomatic, but there's a layer of that. And that's why, when we do these blinded placebo-controlled studies, there's a basis for doing that, and that's because the placebo group experiences benefit in all of these studies. They took a medicine, they underwent a treatment that they believed was going to help them symptomatically, and it did. Now, are placebos going to cure metastatic cancer? They're not. But can they help with pain relief and migraines and things like that? Absolutely. And the science would certainly bear that out. And then the flip side of that is that there is a nocebo effect as well. When you are anticipating some sort of treatment, medication, whatever, tell somebody that we're going to give you this antibiotic, but there's a good chance it's going to give you nausea or diarrhea. And even if it wasn't the active medication, there's a good percentage of that population who got that will get the nausea or diarrhea.
Now, I'll tell you though, I'm just happy to be through it. I'm ticking down the days to when I'm quote unquote fully vaccinated, so that we can start getting back to somewhat near normal lives. And I noticed today that the FDA authorized Pfizer to use their vaccine for ages 12 to 15. So we've done some studies on this. You're the doctor here. How safe is it for kids 12 and up?
I mean, I think the studies is pretty rock solid. I mean, they're, I think 2,500 or so in the study group, and it was placebo controlled as well, obviously, like we mentioned, was 100% effective at preventing disease, well tolerated, no definable significant ill effects have been noted. And I think that in an age group of 12 to 15, you obviously, you can't directly compare them to the adult population, but the biggest thing that we have worked in our favor is the fact that now these mRNA vaccines have been given about a billion times over the course of a year, and we've identified no serious long-term ill effects. So, there's no vaccine in history that it takes a year to develop a serious long-term effect. These folks who, with the influenza vaccine, a handful of people are going to lose the lottery and wind up getting Guillain-Barré, which is this degenerative nerve condition that can be brought on. It's a post-inflammatory condition that can be brought on by a viral infection or even by vaccination like influenza. Very rare, but if things like that are going to happen related to a vaccine, they happen within a week or two. It doesn't take a year. So, the folks who are using the, I want to wait and see what the long-term effects are, argument don't really have that argument anymore after a year and a billion doses of this vaccine.
Yeah, no, you brought up a disease, something that I can't repronounce. So I'm just gonna let you have said it. How frequent?
I want Carol to type it into the thread.
That she probably could. She's a lot better at that than I am.
I bet she can. She could jump on that Google. She'll nail it.
She's the smartest one of the crew here. How? Because I have people go, well, I'm worried about these side effects. I'm worried about whatever it is you just said is possible that I'm going to get this inflammatory disease. Have you come across personally any of these side effects while you're giving these shots out?
I have not, and I've gone to a lot of large vaccination events, and I would say, just by estimation, have been present on site as the physician for 4,000 to 5,000 vaccine dose administrations, and a total of one time did I have to give Benadryl. Have never had to give epinephrine for a true anaphylactic event. But there was a patient who had flushing and had some hives and got successfully treated with Benadryl, and that was it. And that's obviously the immediate effects. I've seen a few patients who may come in with some swollen lymph nodes transiently in the arm or armpit in the area where the vaccine was administered. That's really just a sign that your body's immune system is kind of amping things up and sending troops to the lymph nodes are really the battle stations for your immune system. And if your immune cells are the troops, the lymph nodes are the little miniature bases where they go to congregate and learn about the enemy and, figure out how to fight it. So the lymph nodes can enlarge in the setting of infection or vaccination. So we have had a handful of folks who've had some transiently enlarged lymph nodes following vaccination that gets better with time. It's not actually I don't even view that as a ill effect or side effect. That's a sign really that the vaccine's working. It's kicking the immune system into gear.
No, and it's something we absolutely need, because one of these things is we've got kids who are in the 12 to 15 range, who we're going to get them vaccinated, but we've had people go, are you going to do that because your kids are in that range? And I'm going, yeah, we want them to not transmit it and get it, not have long term effects from it. It from everything that I see, everything that I read, looks very it's safe, it's effective. Why not?
I agree. We have a 13-year-old, and she is as excited to get her vaccine as we are. It's amazing to see a teenager who wants to get a shot, but she and a lot of her friends understand, I think, some of the implications of that. They get fully vaccinated and they can get together and have sleepovers over the summer. And being able to get some shreds of normalcy back, I think mean a lot to them. And you hinted too at the implication of public health. In America, we're fairly selfish. That might be a shocker to you. We tend to look at things as what's this going to do for me and what's this going to do to me potentially, as opposed to, what can this do for the community? Maybe that's a my way of paraphrasing a JFK statement.
There you go.
But you know, the implications that this has for public health, the fact that, you know, getting a huge percentage of the population, and especially teenagers, vaccinated, could really just beat back, you know, case incidence rates even more than they're falling already.
No, I think it's a good thing. Now, you said a minute ago that you've been a part of like 4,000 or 5,000 people being vaccinated. There've got to be some crazy statements coming out, like, you know, is this the Bill Gates? Yeah, have you ever been given the Bill Gates question? You know, are you putting that chip in there? Have you had any of those things?
Mostly jokingly, and you know, obviously with the right patient, you can kind of joke around a little bit about it, and you know. have some good fun. But to be honest, you know, since it's you know, completely voluntary, the folks who are showing up to be vaccinated are ready to go and confident, and by and large don't have a lot of reservations, because those folks just wouldn't be showing up to begin with.
Yeah, see, I asked for the Bill Gates shot. I asked to get, because I'd like to be able to find myself if I'm ever lost.
That's right.
I'm just joking. I wouldn't want to find me if I was lost anyway. But the question comes down to, you know, you said a second ago that, you know, most of the people coming in are doing it voluntarily. And obviously, to this point, we have. What happens for the next phase? Because we've done a really great job of getting people vaccinated and the folks who want it. We haven't heard any stories of large shortages anywhere. We haven't heard of, you know, people who, you know now can't find it. What are you going to do to the next step with those folks who, the recalcitrant ones, who are saying, you know, Bill Gates is putting a tracker in there and all of that nonsense? What do we do with that? Do we ever reach herd immunity? I know some scientists recently said never going to happen. I'm curious your thoughts.
You know, I think we actually have over time chipped away at that group who was wait and see. Initially, like that percentage of Americans has steadily fallen and converted into, yes, I've gotten at least one dose. I've gotten two doses. You know, there. What's the percentage of folks who we will just not ever convince to get the vaccine? You know, is that a firm number? How much can we change that? I would say 20 to maybe 25%. You know, you're just never going to convince them with any logic, reason, facts, or data. And then, unfortunately, you have misinformation that's coming out to feed into a lot of these conspiracy theories for whatever reason. You know, where the money is behind that, or the rubles are behind that effort. Who knows if we'll ever figure it out?
No, you're right. The rubles.
I think that. We can start to, you know, probably do a little bit better with highlighting rewards of vaccination, benefits of being vaccinated, as well as introducing what some folks would call friction into the system for folks who aren't. And that's, you know, traveling within the U.S. without having to have a test performed, as long as you can show proof of vaccination. Traveling internationally, if you can show proof of vaccination, you know, some perks, getting into a football game or a baseball game with nothing but proof of vaccination instead of having to go and get a negative test. Just some, you don't want to say pain points, but some things that show your faith in the vaccine and, you know, the benefits of going ahead and coming around and getting it.
Boy, I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see that world of you vaccinated folks, you can go over there, and all of the Karens and Carls and crazy people, you know, who have to be tested. I can't wait to see that line and the poor people who have to work that line. Because there will be entertainment to be had there. So let me ask.
Well, here soon we could give 5 or 10 gallons of gas for getting a vaccine, right? Since we're now at least on the East Coast.
So are you in favor of,
and get yourself,
are you in favor of incentivizing? I know in West Virginia they're giving $100 savings bonds. I know in some places they were giving shots of alcohol, you know, to help you, you know.
Yeah.
Are you in favor of incentivizing it?
I think so. I think that, you know, public health takes effort, and it also takes some money, and it takes some rewards. And I think that, you know, it's one of those things where you just have to analyze the risks and benefits.
Yeah,
and
see, I'm struggling
cost.
With that. I'm struggling with that, Keith. Seriously, a couple of shots is going to make you change your mind. You're not going to protect yourself, but hey, give me a free drink, and I'm all on board. Or give me a $100 savings bond, which is only worth $50 right now. Sir, you got to wait 10 years to get the full $100. That's going to make you change your mind. What's wrong with people?
It depends on, you know, in what situations do you view things through the lens of the means and the lens of the end. Yeah. And you know, I think all of us are different depending on the situation on
there is that.
How we view that, but I'm okay with it, to be honest. I think that, you know, like I said, there's such a public health benefit to it that
I think
probably the money and the effort is worth it.
But the folks who don't get vaccinated, that 20-25%, how much damage can they do to everybody else by not? And are we going to end up at some point having to get a vaccine booster for what's coming? Because it will just reverberate through that community of 20-25%. And I guess we never get past this, do we?
It's so difficult to predict. And obviously I'm not public health expert or an expert in modeling, but although, and not any kind of modeling, but whether it's clothes,
you
or
got that headband going,
you know, predicting, yeah, maybe headbands, right? Yeah. I'm on some Nike contract here soon, but, the earliest models, I mean, I'll never forget when COVID first hit the scene a little over a year ago, everyone was freaked out. I remember everything completely shut down. No one would leave their house. This was maybe last March. And the early models were saying, you know, it's going to hit really hard and we'll be through with it probably by early May of 2020. And these were professionals with tons of education who put this data into their model, and that's what came out. And so it's going to be impossible really to predict. I think that the folks who do hold out are going to be more likely to be around each other. And so you'll have, I think, some pockets of, you know, of folks who are still spreading it. But then also, once you're infected, you're going to have a degree of immunity there. So, you know, there's I don't know. I get the sense that the summer is going to lighten its grip on us.
That's the hope.
And then what happens in the fall, I think at this point is anybody's guess.
Yeah, because it's weird because I'm already planning on, and this is my mindset. I'm planning on we're going to see Green Day a couple of times over the summer. We've got tickets. We're going one way or another. My wife's not happy about it, but, you know, we're going. That's happening, whether we've got to wear a suit or not. But right. I'm already planning on things opening up.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I think a lot of us, you know, me and my wife and I included, and, you know, we're big believers in the vaccine. We both work in medicine, have been hesitant to kind of get back on the horse. And I think it takes a little conscious, intentional effort and planning to do it. And, you know, once those of us who have younger kids or have families, feel like we can get our entire crew vaccinated, you know, maybe we go watch concerts and sporting events again all together.
No, that's the hope. But Dr. Keith, I appreciate the time. It's always good talk with you, man. You always make me feel a little bit better about where we're heading, where we're going. Good stuff. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Appreciate it.
Good stuff. Our good friend, Dr. Keith Pocheck. Love to hear your thoughts. Did you get your vaccine? Did you get your second dose? I'd love to hear it. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.